what the Lord will do. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that, young folks. I sure do. Talent, talent. It's amazing to watch them grow. All right, take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10 this evening. Proverbs chapter 10, and when you find Proverbs chapter 10, hold your finger there and go to John chapter 3. Proverbs 10 and John chapter 3. Again, Proverbs, this great book of wisdom and knowledge. And we're going to look at a word tonight that pops into these verses at least twice that I can remember. And it's the word understanding. You hold in your hand, we're going to read here in just a moment, the greatest wisdom, the greatest knowledge there ever is, never will be, and that's the Word of God. Man didn't come up with these thoughts. Some group of scholars didn't get together one day and say, this is what we need. The God of heaven spoke as a father to a son and said, my son, and give us these great nuggets of knowledge and wisdom. Many times, though, we will read these things, we'll hear these things, but we're lacking one thing, and that's understanding. You can know and not do. Understanding is knowing and doing. We need to put some feet to the knowledge that God has given us. Amen. You don't wait till you're in the hole. You don't wait till something has come upon you. That's the reason we should read our Bibles. That's the reason we should study. We should hunger after these things. Let's stand together. We're going to read out of John chapter 3. We actually read this past Wednesday night. We'll be back here this coming Wednesday night. But what the Lord told Nicodemus is such a thought. I believe it just captivated my mind as I was studying through my notes here for Proverbs. We know in John chapter 3 the story here of Nicodemus and the great truth that the Lord says ye must be born again. And let me say again, ye must. There's no other way. Ye must be born again. And then Nicodemus was confused. As many people, as you tell them, you know, the saying we use, they look at it like a calf looking at a new gate. They don't know what to do with it. And Nicodemus looked at the Lord and he said, I know you're from God, or we know you're from God. And then God says, well, you must be born again. He's like, huh? This is a scholar. This is one of the greatest minds of that day. So he thinks about this thought of, you know, being able to be born again as far as going back into the womb and being birthed again. And we know that's not going to happen. And the Lord began to explain to him what he was trying to say. And he uses there the thought of the wind and how the wind, we cannot per se see the wind, but we see the effects of the wind. And he makes this statement in verse number 12. It says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I can tell you tonight not stick your finger in the light socket. And somebody's like, why? I've told people, don't touch that. That's hot. You know what they do? They touch that. I went to high school. Believe it or not, I went to high school. I went to high school first year, ninth grade. Ag class. Our first ninth grade. They taught you woodworking. And be honest with you, I'd never been around a lot of that woodworking stuff at that time. I grew up on a dairy farm. Only woodworking I knew was fixing a fence. But they showed us all these different tools and everything. Showed us this circle saw thing, you know, and they was telling us all about this. And this dummy, I guess he thought he was more of a man than the saw was. So he put his hand down there while it was still running. Guess what? Cut his finger right off. Well, that was stupid, wasn't it? Teacher told us not to touch it. You ever done something, somebody said, don't do that, and you did it anyway? Yeah. Understanding. And the Lord told Nicodemus, if I told you earthly things you don't understand, how in the world are you going to understand spiritual things? And that's sort of the mindset when I think about what we're going to look at here in Proverbs. And we've already started chapter 10 and we're going to finish it up tonight. But look, these nuggets, these things, these little sayings, these are not just, I can't help but think about this. I think Judy Hildebrand was the demon behind this. She's not here to defend herself. Anybody ever go to a Chinese restaurant? You ever get the fortune cookie? You open it up and you read, and you're like, what in the world does that mean? Well, Judy says you add this to the back side of it. Whatever it says, put in the bathroom. It does make it a lot more funny. But this isn't fortune cookie knowledge that we're talking about. These are things, again, that God wants us to not just know them, but He wants you to understand them and do them. So that's our desire, is that we just grow and learn some things tonight. So let's pray. Father, we love You. We do thank You, Lord, for the good songs. I sure appreciate the good spirit that I felt. God, if nothing else, I just want to say thank You, Lord, for saving me. God, thank You, Lord, for removing those chains of sin, God, and to know that I'm free. God, help us tonight as we just want to walk through Your scriptures a little bit. And God, I just pray, Lord, You just feed our souls and our mind. And we'll thank You. We'll praise You for what You do here tonight, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening, Proverbs chapter 10. We'll spend the rest of the time there. We got down through verse number 12 last time, and we're going to pick up in verse number 13. All the way from the beginning of this down through chapter or verse number 14, I think it is, we mentioned last time this collation here of he'll give us one side, then he'll put the word but and give us the other side of it. And you find that not only in this chapter, you're going to find it several places throughout the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at a couple of them tonight, and then it sort of runs off into another aspect of wisdom and knowledge here. But verse number 13, the Bible says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. You have understanding, you have the wisdom of God. And then he goes on to say there, though, that no understanding gets what? A rod. And hadn't you ever seen people, you just like, why can't you learn? And I can't help, somebody will help me tonight, I can't help but think of I think it's on the wall at Zaxby's, the saying of John Wayne. Life's hard. It's harder if you're stupid. John Wayne said that, they say. Life is hard. But it's a lot harder if you're stupid. And that's what God's saying here. A lot of people will not take the wisdom and knowledge of God, and in not taking it, they receive the rod. When will you learn? How many times are you going to have to be bitten by that thing before you say, don't touch it again? And that's what he's saying in verse number 13. Verse 14, wise men. And listen. It's not about your education standard. It's not about if you can read well or if you can write well. We're talking about the knowledge of God. Don't we want to be wise tonight? I don't want to be wise to say, look at me. Brother Roy told me a thing he saw on Facebook, I think it was. Said the Lord came riding in on a donkey and Olsteen rides in on a $300,000 car. All in the name of Jesus. I don't want wisdom that I can say, look at me, or have a bigger crowd or this. I want to have the wisdom and knowledge of God so I can be the light and the salt that God wants me to be, the vessel that He wants us to be. Verse 14, wise men. And again, we ought to want to be wise. Lay up knowledge. Are you laying up knowledge? Are you every day going into the book of God and seeking out knowledge? Are you laying it up? Again, I can't remember. Listen, I'm not naming anybody because I can't think of anybody's name to name right now. But some people say, well, preach, you know, verse so-and-so. I'll be honest with you. Some verses I might recall. I can't remember every verse in this book. Can you? Ain't nobody knows every verse in this book except God himself. But every day I'm constantly wanting to lay up some understanding, to go into the book looking for truth, looking, I'm not just reading it to twiddle my thumbs, I'm laying up knowledge because somewhere, how many of us tonight can testify how sometime down in your life God brought a verse back to your mind that came out of nowhere? That's just the way God works. You're laying up that knowledge. A wise man will do that. Look. Anybody in here heat with wood? Anybody? I mean, that's some people still do. Not many, but you don't wait till it snows to say, hey, I need to cut some wood. Right? You prepare. You lay it up for when you need it. You don't say, wait a minute, problem. Wait a minute, trial. Let me go find some truth here to help me. No, that trial, that trouble is going to smack you upside the head, and you better have some knowledge laid up to stand as you're being attacked by that problem. So a wise man, verse 14 says, will lay up knowledge. And here's that little word, but. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. A fool is right on the line of destruction all the time. They're one step away from falling flat on their face. That's the difference between the wise and the fool. Verse 15, here's a truth. We're changing gears a little bit now. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So we find this truth, and it is. It's the truth today. How many has heard the saying, money can buy you out of anything, right? You get a good enough lawyer, you can get out of anything. Well, it takes good money to get a good lawyer. Riches does, and that's a truth. Riches will help you as far as the worldly way. But aren't you glad tonight that I have something? I can't say what you've got, but I can say tonight, I'm glad I've got something that's greater than wealth, earthly wealth. Do you see what the verse says? The rich man's wealth is his strong city. Now listen. I know the Bible speaks over there in the New Testament about how it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle there, or getting to heaven like a camel went through the eye of the needle. I know that, but there's rich people going to heaven. They are. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're evil, doesn't mean you're wicked, doesn't mean you don't love God. God has prospered people that love Him, and He uses them for conduit to turn around and use that to help do something for the cause of Christ. But the majority of rich people are not so. All they have is their wealth. If they lost their wealth, they have nothing. Why do you think so many people kill themselves in the business world when their businesses fall apart? Because they have nothing. But then on the other side of that, it says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. You know, rich people many times use poor people to get richer. And just as it seems like the rich are always prospering, it seems like the poor is always poor, isn't it? That's just the facts of life. And that's what God's dealing with, is the facts of life here. Verse 16, I like this. I like verse 16. The labor. Now, I know that's, again, one of those bad words. We were talking, me and Brother Brian, Brother Tony, I don't know who else was standing around. But I asked this question because I was thinking about it. Now, I'll ask you. Most people work an 8-hour shift, right? Some of you don't. Some of you work longer. 8-hour shifts is the norm for our day, right? I asked Brother Brian and Brother Tony, if I was a company and I was paying an individual to work 8 hours, that's 8 hours and they get a 30-minute lunch, so they're there 8.5 hours and we pay them for a break, so actually, you're paying them for about 7.5 hours of actual labor. I was just thinking, today, and it's not always been this way, but today, if a man was getting paid for 8 hours, if we could truly follow that person, whatever person you want to pick, out of 8 hours, how much time do you feel like that person actually labored? I said, you think it's 4 hours? And Brian said, three. And he's probably right. People don't kill themselves to labor today. But the verse here is talking about laboring, but not the work per se. But look at verse 16. The labor of the righteous. So apparently, anybody here righteous? If you're saved, you're righteous. You're righteous in Christ. So the labor, that means that we are supposedly putting forth laboring. We're supposedly supposed to be working for the Lord. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. This verse is very simple. What do you produce? Does your life produce a righteous person laboreth toward what? Life. Does our life, does your life that in the realm of Christ, are you producing life? That's what you're supposed to be doing. But the wicked, you know what it produces? Sin. I hope tonight that you're in the process of producing life. Verse 17. He is the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Just do right. No matter what, just do right. As Brother Maynard said many years ago now in my life, if you do right, you'll come out right. Just do right. Don't make it easy, but it's always right. And that's what he's saying. There he says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. Just keep doing right. It don't pay to do wrong, but it does pay to do right. Then he says, but he that refuseth, reproveth error. Let me ask you something. You answer between you and God. Do you take instruction well? I've met people that don't. I've been put face to face. Preacher, you ain't telling me what to do. I'm just the messenger. Do you take instruction well? That's what the verse is about. He's saying there that he that refuseth reproof. Who do you think you are telling me that? Take it up with God. It's His book. But do you take instruction well? When God puts His finger on something in your life, and uses somebody like the preacher or a Sunday school teacher or your mama or your daddy to say, look, you shouldn't do that. God's not pleased with that. It's not right what you're doing. Well, it's my life. I'll do what I want to. And you can. God's not going to make you. But I promise you in the end, you'll wish you would have. Verse 18 through 21 all deal with a certain thing that everybody in here has. Some bigger than others. But they're all the same. The Bible says they're of hell fire. What is it, preacher? Your tongue. Let's look at them. Verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is the choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So we see here three sins that deal with the tongue. And again, we know James speaks of the tongue and tells us the trouble that this tongue describes it as the rudder of a ship, how this little thing here can turn things whichever way, and how it's so dangerous of a weapon. Notice these verses that it speaks of the tongue as lying lips. It speaks of slander. Here comes one. Overspeaking. You know, I think it's biblical not to talk much. Some people need to learn to be quiet. I've always heard God gave you two ears and one mouth. You should listen twice as much as you talk. Sometimes talking is the worst thing you can do. Be still and know that He is the Lord. So these are the sins of the tongue, the lying lip, the slander, the overspeaking. But He also gives some benefits of the tongue. Few words. We'll be with Brother Tony's brother in October. Hopefully our young people will go up there. They're having a youth meeting. It's the third or fourth Saturday in October. I don't remember now. He's got several preachers lined up and we get like 5 minutes. Well, preacher, that ain't much. But this is what he's doing. He says, I want you, if you could tell our young people one thing, what would you tell them? Choose your words. We see the benefits of tongue is few words, just speech, and righteous speech. Verse 18 talks about men that hide hatred with lying lips. That's someone that pretends or leads someone to think in another way just by their words. A crafty person. They lie. And in lying, they try to tell you something that's not real. There's much of that in the Bible. Cain and Abel is one of those. Cain's getting ready to kill Abel, but Abel didn't know it. Saul and David. Judas Iscariot. He had a lying tongue. Ananias and Sapphira, remember them? Did you sell it for such and such? Oh, yeah. Lying lips. Verse 18 talks of slander. That's tearing someone down. It's one thing when the world does it, but it's another thing when so-called Christians do it. Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to tear something down, someone down? Preachers do it all the time. I don't like it. I hope I don't get into that crowd, but I've been around preachers. When another preacher messes up and falls, the slander, they'll tear him apart. I like the song the girls sing. You can talk about me all you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. I'd rather talk to the Lord than to talk to somebody else and tear somebody down. We were at Walmart I don't like to go to Walmart, as you know, but we were at Walmart one time and I almost said something. I decided probably better to use wisdom here and not say nothing. I heard this woman, she was sitting right over there, just as loud could be, tearing her church and preacher apart. She might feel that way. But see, when you are loud and boisterous like that and everybody in that place is hearing that conversation, you're not just tearing down your preacher and your church, you're tearing down the cause of Christ. Why would anybody want what you got when you're talking that way? This tongue's dangerous, man. Be careful. We didn't realize this. This is new in our day. You know, science is always finding new things. Did you know that your tongue is connected to your fingers? What do you mean? That stuff you type on Facebook and Instagram, Snapchat, dangerous is your tongue. Hello? I'm not the greatest tech geek in the world. Seth and Mark and some of you other are just a whole lot smarter than me. But can I help all of you? I don't care if you think your Facebook is private, or if you think your Instagram's private, or you think your Snapchat or whatever else, that social stuff that you have out there, everything you type is out there. Yeah. It does not just, I deleted it. You deleted it on your computer. It's out there. Saying this thing's dangerous, that's what he's warning us of. in all these cases here with the tongue on the negative side, did you notice what he calls them? Verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander, what does God call them? A fool. I didn't call him a fool, God did. That's the dangers of this tongue. Verse 22 is a wonderful promise. The blessing of the Lord. Anybody in here been blessed with the Lord? Amen. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Well, I won't be rich, preacher. I'm already rich. I've been blessed in the Lord. God loadeth me every day with His benefits. I'm blessed. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And notice here also the icing on the cake. And He addeth no sorrow with it. Listen to this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, but they that will be rich, and listen, young folks, it's not, again, if God gives you a job and you pay your tithes and you give back in the Lord, I promise you, God just keeps blessing you. We've been giving our tithes and our offerings and our missions giving, and listen, people, I'm not bragging on Anthony White. We set out many years ago I wasn't used to it. I'd never had a preacher that really taught me on giving. But when I began to see through scriptures the principles of giving, I don't give to get. It's just a joy to give. But it just amazes me. Every time I give, God just gives it right back. It amazes me. Well, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to support missions. You're missing the boat. You don't know what you're missing by not. We prayed about my wife staying home with our children. Not everybody can do it. I know that. I'm not saying. But two things. I was working at ASMO at that point in my life, making more money than I'd ever made before in my life. Told my wife I was going to quit work. Oh, you'll never make it. Made it, didn't we, honey? I was working at Freightliner. Anybody here work at Freightliner? I know who works at Freightliner. I had a job at Freightliner that paid a lot more money than I ever made before there, too. Always did like this when they brought my paycheck to me. Because I didn't do anything to make the money I was making. I went in one day and I told my boss, I said, I'm turning in my 2-week notice. Where are you going? God's called me to preach. I'm going to take a church in Taylorville, North Carolina, and I'm going full-time in the ministry. What? Are you crazy? You'll starve to death. I'm as fat now as I was. It's not for bloating either. It's well-fed. God's just taking care of me. Well, that's just you, preacher. No, that's anybody that listens to His wisdom and His knowledge and understands, hey, this works. Now, I know. Y'all parents that's got youngins today, I'm a math guy. There was a daddy one time showed me this public school. Do we have any teachers in here tonight? I don't see one. This new math thing they teach our kids today, it's plumb stupid. I was like, why in the world would you do all of that when I can do it like this and come up with the same answer better than your answer? It's dumb to me. It makes no sense. Can I tell you a secret? I don't care what year it is. I don't care how smart we think we've got. Now, this is deep. 1 + 1 = 2. Everybody good? What are you saying? You do what God says, and it'll turn out the way God said it will. If it don't, God's a liar. And guess what? God can't lie. Look at verse 22 again. It says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he abideth, he addeth no sorrow to it. First Timothy chapter 6, I was reading that. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and the many foolish hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they are erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, there's people that's all they study is money, 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 money. Again, I'm not preaching against the lottery tonight. It'd be a good night to preach against the lottery because I truly believe the lottery's of the devil. That's the way I feel. It's gambling. It's wrong. If you play it, I'm not fussing at you tonight. I'm just saying, think about what you're doing. Anybody ever heard of the curse of the lottery? Man, I'd like to win that $500 million. Look at the lives of the people that have won it and see what happened. Is that really what you want? That sorrow? But can I say tonight, when God adds His riches unto you, He addeth no sorrow to it. That's what the verse says. God will load you up and run you over, but He won't add no sorrow to it. The Bible, I know Brother Ed, this is one of Brother Ed's verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what will He do? He'll add all these things. And it ain't sorrow. See, that's the riches of God. We ain't got time to read it, but Luke 12 talks about that parable of the rich man there. The farmer had the great crop. He says, you know what? I'm going to tear my barns down, fill them up. I'm going to sit back and just say, eat it up, man. You know what God says? He calls him a fool. Says, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. Remember Lot's wife? Lot got her out of Sodom, but he didn't get her heart out, did she? Why? Because she looked back. What are you saying? There's sorrow added to it. Look for the wisdom of, and the riches of God. I got to move. Verse 23, because I want to finish up tonight. Verse 23 says, it is a sport. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. You ever been around that crowd? They just love tearing people up, doing the joking around, you know, laughing at people, do something to make somebody get hurt. That's what he's talking about. It's a sport to them. They think it's funny. It's not funny. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. Again, verse 23, verse 24. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Have you ever seen the fear of God come upon a wicked person? It's a hard fall. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Really? The desires of the righteous shall be granted? You know, a lot of people, that name it, claim it, wealth crowd, says, well, if you're right with God, you'll have a Cadillac. If you're right with God, you'll be well. If you're right with God. That's not what God's saying here. I'm righteous in Christ. Look at the verse. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. You know, if my desire is right, it'll be granted. What's my desire? Is it the will of God or is it not the will of God? That's the problem. Verse 25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting fountain, wicked no more. Man is just a little while and they're gone. They're going to perish. But a righteous, notice there, the righteous is an everlasting foundation. I'm going to live forever. That foundation's sure this evening. Verse 26, the Bible says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. I don't know much about the vinegar to the teeth. I don't like vinegar. But I sure don't like smoke in my eyes. Ain't that a bother? Irritates you? That's what he's saying about that sluggard. You ever, I don't know why, I guess because they felt like I wasn't going to kill nobody. But I always had to train people. About every job I've ever had, I had to train people. Some people just don't want to work. And when somebody's a sluggard, this annoys the hound out of me. Get out of the way and let me do it. That's what he's talking about there, that sluggard. You ask them to do something, they're probably not going to do it. Verse 27, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." The last verses all tie together. Let's read them real quickly. "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness." Do you see that comparison there between the two? In those verses, we have those that have the Lord. Notice with me, verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." When you love the Lord, fear the Lord, you have long days. Does that mean if you die young, didn't love the Lord? That's not what it's saying. Verse 28 says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." When I have the Lord, I have gladness. Says there in verse 29, "I have strength." Verse 30, "The righteous shall never be removed. I have eternity." Verse 31, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. I have wisdom." Verse 32, it says that acceptable there in mid part of 32. And then the opposite side of that is the fool. Notice what he says there, verse 27. "The wicked shall be shortened," short years. "The expectation of the wicked shall perish." You know, a wicked person, we know, me and my wife know a guy right now that he's actually kin to me. Man, he's doing all he can right now to tear down the work of Christ. He's going to fail, I know that. But I feel sorry for him. I hope the Lord will open the door that I can talk with him, because I'm going to tell him, you better hope you're right, because if I'm right, you're in trouble. Yeah. And guess what? I'm right. Amen. He's going to stand before God. And that's when it's going to be there. "The expectation of the wicked shall perish." Verse 29, "The fool has destruction." Verse 30, "They're banned." Verse 31, "They're cut out." So we see that again, the comparison there between the wise and the fool. The fool says there is no God. What do you say tonight? And all of this, and again, we're going to see many, many more hereafter of this. These are just things that God says, I'm telling you, don't do this. I'm telling you, do this. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, then you'll pay the price for not doing it. It's the way it works. Don't you want to be wise tonight and lay up that knowledge that when God shows you something, it'll help you? We close with John Wayne. Life's hard. And it is. But it's harder when you're stupid. And I know, well, you shouldn't talk like, but it's the truth. If people would just follow this book, life's still hard. It rains on the just and the unjust. I don't get special treatment. You know, I still have troubles and trials and heartaches and pains. But guess what? I've got somebody I can go to. I've got somebody that'll carry the load. That's what the world don't have. Let's stand together this evening. Appreciate you being here tonight.